Hebrews 4, verses 9 and 11. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Down where I come from, down Florida, there's a lot of people from the West Indies. And if you go to a West Indian church on Sabbath, when they start the worship service, they'll have what they call the affirmation of faith. And that is, they stand up and repeat the fourth commandment. And nothing wrong with that. And I was on an airplane, and a fellow said to me, "So, with Seventh-day Adventists, what's this about the Sabbath?" I said, "It's about creation. That's what it's about." What can you say about that? It's about creation. I mean, how hard is that? But let's stand up like they do down in those churches. And let's repeat the fourth commandment, Exodus 28 to 11. Do the best you can on that. Let's stand and repeat that, shall we? Exodus 20, 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Did good. I even get my tongue tangled out on some of that. You can sit down. I want to talk about the Sabbath tonight. And you're going to say, "Well, don't try to convince me of that. I wouldn't be here." But I think it's necessary for us to review that, and more, because the Sabbath is at risk. Not only out there, but it could become at risk in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And it would do this, and the thing that's overthrowing this, Pastor, you said, speak straight. The thing that's trying to get rid of, and will get rid of the Sabbath in the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the word legalist. Because whenever we want to talk about honoring the Sabbath, somebody wants to call you legalist. And I don't mean that the Pope. That would be somebody you go to church with. "Well, what are you, legalist?" Watch the word legalist. Watch that word. That word is being used to beat back holy living. And I want to tell you, if somebody says to you, "You're a legalist," just smile and say, "A legalist is not a person that delights to do the will of God." In fact, Jesus came, wasn't it, David said, "I delight to do your will." So a person that's in Jesus, a person that's full of the Spirit, he's not trying to get away from the Sabbath. He's trying to get the blessing from the Sabbath that Jesus brings into it. If you find a person kicking against the Sabbath, then he's kicking against a lot of other stuff too. God's our judge. Anyway, to many new people, I don't know how it happens now, but back in the old days at least, when you accepted the truth about the Sabbath, you'd lose your job. Any of you remember those days? And they didn't have the 5-day work weeks necessarily in those days. It was 6 days. You know, you give your heart to Jesus and you see the Sabbath, and we're going to talk about this. You lose your job. I was talking to a fellow one time. He said, "When I accepted the Sabbath, I lost my job and had to live in my car." Now, I have never had that happen. My daddy was a Seventh-day Adventist minister. And so I don't have those memories. I actually remember, there I go again, you and I, you know, with the white hair and all. And I remember Brother, when we used to get ready for the Sabbath, did you hear what I said? Used to get ready for the Sabbath. I'm not saying that we don't, but I'll talk about that a little later on too. And I only say that, now those are good memories, and I'm not saying what I'm about to say next is everybody. It's only maybe this many. But you know, it only takes that many to do this many. And there's this creative Sabbath keeping that they're doing these days.
Well, you know, if God really wants me to rest on the Sabbath, I can't prepare the meal there and take care of the dishes. I got to go out to Mr. Piggy's. Where is it that we ate? So the buffet, or what was that where we ate? Yeah, country buffet. I picked out a country buffet. You say, well, I always go out to country buffet on the Sabbath so I don't have to wash the dishes. And, so if I'm going to get a blessing. Anyway, it's all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff. But there's another problem. And there's a friend of mine was saying, somebody said, how do you keep the Sabbath? He said, I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't do this. And he stopped himself. He said, what am I talking about? He said, the Sabbath's not something you don't do. It's got to be something you do. This is another thing I think we all... Now, there's certain things that you don't do to your car, like run into a telephone pole. You don't do that. But one thing you do is you keep the oil changed. So in the Christian life, there's things you don't do, but there's things that you're going to do. And some people say, well, you only don't do this, you don't. Well, of course not. But then in Christ, being born again, there's so much of that stuff that we do. You know, for some people, the Sabbath has become a red light. And, I'm going to talk about this in a minute. You know, a red light stops you. When you want to go someplace, the red light slows you down. It may not keep you from getting there, but it slows you down. And for many people, the Sabbath is that. Hey, I'm trying to get someplace and sundown. I can't do that anymore. Anyway, I try to figure things out. Now, by the way, let me say this. You got to be careful when you try to figure things out. And here's the way I do it. Now, I don't know what it's like up here in upstate. But I think that this pretty leaves and all and the warm is an illusion. Because I think if I come up here in about another 2 weeks again, I'll find out what it's more like in reality. I don't think there'll be as many leaves as there are tonight. And I think, in fact, weren't you saying sometimes you get a frost, it could be 3 feet deep. Well, anyway, what I was leading up to, I try to figure things out.
The frost line.
The frost?
Line. In the ground.
Yeah. What did I say? Anyway, you know what I meant to say. You caught it. Because you're the one that told me. But I misunderstood, didn't I? But anyway, here's what I want to say. And that is, when I'm trying to figure things out, it's like walking on a lake, in the early part of the fall. There's a little ice out there. You can say, hey, it's froze over. So you step on it and you say, hey, man, it's going good. And then you put the next foot out, it cracks. You know what you do when that happens? Back off. This is the way I do in the spiritual life. I don't just go running out over the lake. I'll test it. If it cracks, I back off. In other words, there are certain things that you can handle. There's other places. If you go that way, you go down. There's a lot of people in our circles these days that are asking a lot of questions and they're running. And they're going down. You can ask, this is another point, there are questions that have only wrong answers. You remember when they asked Jesus that question that day? He knew he couldn't answer that. If you answered that, you were wrong. You answer that any way, you're wrong. So he wouldn't answer. So look out for that. Anyway, I'm trying to figure out the blessing of the Sabbath. I used to live in South America. And by the way, when I landed there, I was 32 years old. You know, that's pretty young. You remember when you were 32?
Was that in the last century?
Sorry.
Yeah, it was in the last century. That's a long time ago. And I was 32 years old, and there was that Spanish language all around me, man. And I used to pray, Lord, help me out. And because it's all just jibber-jabber, you know, it is. And he helped me out. You know, one word at a time, he helped me out. So I preach in Spanish these days. Anyway, I heard this evangelistic sermon, and the minister had a birthday cake. And so he was trying to explain the Sabbath, and he was doing this with candles, birthday candles. And so he would say, and this was the first day, and he'd light the candle and say, light the candle, light the candle, light the candle. And then he'd put in the Sabbath, see? And so he said, now the Sabbath is Adam's mother's birthday. Now who was Adam's mother? The earth. Took him out of the dust of the earth. And I thought, I never heard that before. That's nice. But then I thought, I don't know if a birthday is the best way to describe the Sabbath. Because my birthday is about me. By the way, it was just about what? Well, it was about a month ago now. It's on September 16. My wife and I have our birthday on the same day. Now, won't you write down... Send me some cards. Yeah, because you send one card, you don't have to send two. And anyway, I thought it's not a birthday. Sabbath's not a birthday. You can say, well, it's the birthday. No, I'm talking about from a blessing point of view, because my birthday is about me. What are you going to do on your birthday? Well, I think I'll do this. What you want for your birthday? In other words, the birthday is about me. And I thought to myself, no, I think it'd be better to say that the Sabbath's more like an anniversary. Because an anniversary is not about me. It's about us. It's about us. And this is what the Sabbath is. See, the world doesn't need the Sabbath. The world needs Jesus. But when you get Jesus, then it puts the Sabbath right. You know there's a huge nation that keeps the Sabbath. But it doesn't have Jesus. If you want to get a blessing out of the Sabbath, you got to be born again. Anniversaries are for married people. The Sabbath's for born again Christian people, committed Christians. Once you get Jesus, you get the Sabbath. Just like I got married. I married Betty, and we were married on, you might take a note on this too. It was June 19, 1960. We've been married next year for 50 years. Now, I know what you're going to do. So when I say this, sometimes the people just about burst into applause. But I say, don't give me a standing ovation till my funeral. Because I promise, till death do us part. Isn't that the way it is? This crazy stuff. I'll be married to you as long as I want to. You see, that brings on another sermon on my part. And that is, now watch this. I hope you're smart to hear what I'm throwing lots of spinning out stuff. And you won't remember any of it. I know you won't. But try to remember one or two things. Just one or two. And that is that they talk about, you know, we should have a relationship with Jesus. I was talking to a young man that was living with a girl without being married. And I tell these young women out there, I say, if you move in with a boy before you're married, you're out of your mind. Because that boy, he gets what he wants to get, and that's going to what he wants. Anyway, I said to the boy, what's it like? He said, we love each other, we're best friends, we share expenses, and we're intimate. I said, that sounds like Betty and me. Why don't you go ahead and get
married?
Don't want to make a commitment. See, this is the problem. Problem in this, even in the church, in the Christian world, it's not about relationship. Everybody has a relationship with Jesus. The devil does. He hates him. Relationship is neutral word. Commitment's the word we got ahead. Commitment. 50 years ago, I made a commitment to that girl. Till death do us part. Till death do us part. Anyway. When Jesus is the Lord of our lives, we get the Sabbath. Anniversaries come once a year.
Next year I'll have 50 of those. But God knew that we needed this anniversary more than once a year. We need it every week. We need it every week. And it's not just to remind us every week. Of course it does, but we need it every week. You know, the Sabbath is, now see it this way. For some, it's a red light. You know, you're going down the highway and you're in a big hurry. And then you come up there. You're sitting there, man. Have you noticed that when you're not in a hurry, it's green? I mean, you can see green lights as far as you can see.
Who's that testing?
Anyway, when you're in a hurry, it's going to be red, man. Just one after another catch on red. And for some people, that's what the Sabbath is. Catches me, cuts me off. I'm going someplace, and I have to stop and wait it out. I've even, I think I've done it myself. You're sitting around talking and say, well, what are we going to do tonight? Well, we want to go out to Fatty's. No, that isn't where we ate. Where was that? I keep forgetting the name of that place. It's something buffet, right? What's that? I'm sorry, sister, I keep mentioning that. I think I'm saying words like Fatty's because I ate too much over there. I think that's why I'm doing that. But haven't you done that before? You know, you say, well, we're going to go out to Fatty's tonight after Sabbath. How long we got? We got 5 minutes. Oh, 4 and a half. 9, 8. You see, so we got this wrong. Can't wait till we get it over with. I think there's hope for us. Remember the song we used to sing? 6 days we have for work and play. The seventh is for Jesus. Anyway, I feel this way. When I was 34 years old, no, 37 years old. You're not even 37, I'll bet, are you? No, the young pastor sat behind me.
I'm way over 30.
I'm 30.
No, he's young. I was 22 when I was my pastor to start a first church. One day the elder came to me and he said, Pastor O'Field, the scripture is being fulfilled before our eyes. I said, how's that, Brother Hurley? He said, it says a little child shall lead them. Anyway, I was 37 when I got ulcers, duodenals. And I began to bleed. I bled. I lost half my blood. I had a hole in my stomach. And the doctor said, when you're a nervous kind of person, you're just nervous. You're going to be that way all your life. And I am nervous-ish. And what I try to do is to play it down. Like when I came over here today, it was going to be 1 hour in Philadelphia. I don't like that, man. Because that means if you leave a half hour late from Orlando, you're messed up. So I always try to work it out so I got 2 hours, maybe even 3 hours. I'd rather be sitting in that airport than be running down the runway trying to catch the plane going off the way, you know. But anyway, I guess what I'm saying is, now, I'm not a doctor. But I believe that when, notice I didn't say if, but when the Lord will let the Lord lead us into honoring the Sabbath, it's going to be pretty hard to get nervous. Pretty hard. Because it means that we can lay it down. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. I want that for my life. Now it's hard for us ministers to do that because we work on Saturday. We work on Saturday. But I want to challenge us with that. Anyway, how can we get the most out of the Sabbath? How can we get the blessing? You know, my wife was raised in Orlando, and I know I hate to admit this, girl, but though we met when I was 17, she'd already had boyfriends. I don't know why she didn't just wait for me. You know, I hate to think she ever went out with anybody but me, but she did.
And her daddy and they were social people, and so the family had friends. And those friends had kids, same age kids, and so Betty had her boyfriends. And here's what I'm leading up to, though. That she chose me, Betty chose me. I won. But you know, in the years that followed, the old boyfriends were still around, one in particular. He didn't live in Florida, but he'd come to Florida to see his daddy. Luke, you're not going to believe this, brother, but we actually had that old boyfriend over at the house. What about that?
Kept him in your sight.
Hey, I kept him in my sight. What can I say? The story's over. I never had that happen to me before. And anyway, we had him over at the house. And he took us out to eat. The last time I saw him, he took us out to eat. But anyway, what I'm leading up to is this. There's one time I'd never have him over. Anniversary. You see, what we never do, Mac is say to Betty, honey, next Wednesday is our anniversary. Why don't you get your old boyfriends and I'll get my old girlfriend? You don't do that. Anniversaries are for us. On the Sabbath, it's for us. For Jesus and me and for the family. This is the anniversary that we have. This is why one of the first things we got to do is to stay out of fatties. We don't need to go to fatties. You'll take me on Friday afternoon, but if you took me every Friday, every Friday, you know what I'd be like tonight? This is why having bread and water is better than going to fatties, boy. Because I can't get that on my mind, Luke. I don't know. She's told me 3 or 4 times. She thinks I've lost my mind. I can't remember that. But all I could... She was doing it. We both had carrot cake for dessert. And I was very impressed. She was going to try to eat that cake out from under the icing. And you do that and the icing caves in around it and you got to eat some of the icing just because you can't get your spoon out fast enough. So, anyway, you get the point, don't you? You get the point. Listen, let's talk about honoring the Sabbath. You know this already, but let's get this right. One of the biggest blessings of the Sabbath is to get ready for it. Get ready for it. And you know this. I remember when I was a young boy, Mama got ready for the Sabbath on Friday. Now, she didn't work outside the house. And these women these days, they work outside the house. And so they come home at 5:30 or whenever it is, they come home. And hey, there's no time to get the house ready. You better start on Thursday night. You know this thing that's the Sabbath is a red light. We've got the supermarkets. You have Kroger's here. What are you got? The supermarkets here. What are they called?
Tops.
What's the big ones?
Tops.
Tops. Tops. You know, ours is called Publix, and we've joked because there's a lot of Adventists living around there. We said what we should have is Friday evening Vespers in the Publix supermarket. Because people wait, you know what I'm saying? They just, I got to get some stuff. So listen, if the Sabbath is going to be a blessing, it's not got to be something on your back. Say, I better hurry here. I only got 5 minutes. Let me tell you about my wife. We've got 8 grandchildren. I doubt if he's even got children yet. He's so young. You got any children yet?
3.
Oh, my lands. That's a lot for a fellow as young as he is. No, I was just like you. I went overseas. I got on a ship in the port of New York. I was 26 and I had 3 children. Back in those days, we got married younger, didn't we? And we had our children really, in, 12 months was, they were coming on. And we had more children. We had people like you. Are you really old and you just don't look like it?
No, I'd eat a whole country buffet if I was old.
Over the fatties, right? Yeah.
Anyway, you heard me, sisters. I was talking about grandchildren. When our grandchildren come to visit us with their parents, and let's say they're going to get here next Thursday, she starts getting ready for it yesterday. That woman will get ready for those kids for no reason. She'll clean that room, Roger, and it's not even dirty. In other words, the joy of stuff is getting ready for it. If it comes on your back, it's no fun. You get ready for it. And so I can remember the days when we actually got our clothes ready on the Sabbath. We polished our shoes. We set out our little clothes. Mama actually fixed the food. When Sabbath came, even she'd set the table sometimes. And now I know we live in 2009, but I don't think it's too late to do some of that. Do you think it's too late? Get ready for the Sabbath. What's wrong with that? In that way, it's not a burden for us. You know, another thing and is that when does the Sabbath start? We're in it. Now, I'm not telling you to do what Betty and I do, but we start the Sabbath on the Friday night like you do. But you know what we do? Just before the Sabbath, we turn on the Sabbath music to kind of just have it out there in the background. And then we get candles. Just put those candles out there. Now, some people say, you can't put out candles. You're a closet Catholic. Now, I don't know if over at Tops they have them, but over at Publix, they do have these Hail Mary candles. You know, they come in the bowl, in the things, about that big. They're not $2. But they're cheap. My lands, you can just burn that thing. And so we'll buy some of those, or even some good ones. What's wrong with that? And in the Sabbath afternoon, we put those on. The music's playing. You start to get the picture. It's like at your house. If you don't have, I'm not telling you what to do. Just do something special. Just do something special. And also, now I'm gone most every week, but on the weekends that I'm home, and you remember me, I'm going to tell you what we have for supper on Friday night. We have a special Friday night meal. Pizza. You thought I was going to say holy bread, didn't you?
Special K.
Well, some people do special K arms. But you hear what I'm saying? I'm not saying that you should have pizza. We have pizza and we have root beer and pudding. I mean, I've done that for more than 20 years. And my boy does something like that. He adds a salad to that. And I'm not telling you, sister, to eat pizza. I'm not telling you that. But why not do something to make the Sabbath special? Just do it on you what you like to do. Make it special so that you remember, so you look forward to it. So your kids and your grandchildren, they come and they say, that I like to do what grandma and grandpa like to do. So we started on Friday. Friday night's no problem. Friday night it just comes on in and we just get ready for it. And when we come, you know, Sabbath morning's no problem. As long as we go to Sabbath school. But who goes to Sabbath school? It's a shame. It's a shame. Now, I'm not talking to you because you're the good guy. This is one another thing I've noticed, Roger. Let me give you a hint, son, as to how to do this. See, we'll get up on Sabbath morning. We'll get up and say, and why aren't they here? Why don't they come on time? That's the wrong crowd. These are the good guys. In other words, if you're going to admonish, you know, the bad people, wait till the bad people are here to hear it. But you know, we do that many times. We're always beating the back to the good guy. Yeah, in other words, but the thing that really, I just don't know what to say. But I think we need to mention, we need to invite people to Sabbath school. I don't mean keep putting this in your ear because you think, well, that's like back in the old days. But back in the old days, you won't know this, but more people came to Sabbath school than came to church. You don't know that, but they did. People would bring visitors to Sabbath school, and they might go home for church. I mean, I don't say that was a good idea. And I remember back in the, you know what? Now, I know this is boring you, but back in the old days, and that they had Sabbath school classes just like they do now, but they had cards.
yellow colored cards. Huh? And they'd have the name of all the Sabbath school members on those cards. And the teacher just looked down that list. And he'd put a check if you were present and an A if you were absent. And if somebody said, they'd say, well, where's Sister So-and-so? Well, she's sick. Well, in other words, we knew who was who and where was where. And there's nothing wrong with that. And you know what they'd ask you? Like they'd ask you how many times you studied the lesson. There they're getting you, aren't they? Say 5 times, 3 times, 4 times. But I want to tell you this. When they ask me, I did. When they don't ask you anymore, Luke, for what? You don't. Or you might. Or you think about it. They would ask you how many pieces of literature you distributed. Guess what? You did. When they don't ask you, you don't. Now, I'm exaggerating, but you get this, Roger? They did. They'd ask you how many missionary contacts you'd made. And I don't say they did that one day. They did that for years. And there was nothing wrong with that until someday some... I don't know why I was going to call him names. I was going to call him an idiot. But you know, we do things that are idiots things. I mean, we do things and important things that you'd be an idiot if you did it if you're trying to run a business. But somebody once they thought, well, you know, we shouldn't ask the people how many times they studied the lessons. We're allowed to offend somebody. Well, they ought to be offended. You know what I mean? We got to be accountable to each other. No, it isn't offending anybody. We're not sending them to jail. Oh, they don't have to do time or pay a fine. If you don't want to study the Sabbath school lesson, don't. But let the rest of us encourage one another. And I'm going to put this in crude language. I think in the Sabbath school lesson, we've dumbed it down to the level of the loser. Now that's gross, but that's, you know what I'm saying? You see, I don't think that the gospel of Jesus ought to be brought down to our level. The gospel is to bring us up to that level. What's wrong with that? Anyway, just something to think about. But on the other hand, and I must admit, and I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg, because they used to have good Sabbath school programs. Good ones. And I want to tell you, God forgive me, but good Sabbath school programs you don't always find. A lot of places I go, the Sabbath school superintendent, he or she stands out there and reads their favorite morning watch. He says, now we'll separate for our class. So you think, why should I go there? I read the morning watch before I got here. They used to have mission stories. Now, I'm glad they have those things they throw on the screen, and I hope we do it in our... Because you see, one of the things of the Sabbath school was you got into the Word in the class format. Another thing is you got the vision of the world outreach of the church. And we'd have special music. And sometimes they'd have the little kids come up, you remember, and do their little poems. I did that. I used to do that. Knees knocking together and everything, but taught me to be a preacher. And in other words, I think, and I'm just suggesting because you're the shakers and the movers. And so I think that this nucleus who is here tonight, see, I don't think we need this. You see, now I may sound like I'm condemning, but I'm just diagnosing. See, you go to a doctor, you want to be correctly diagnosed, but you want to have hope. You don't want him to say, well, I think you got so-and-so and you'll probably be gone tomorrow. No, that's not any hope in that. So I think we need to diagnose ourselves spiritually. And then we're going to say, what's going to let Jesus, what are we going to do about that? I think we can do a lot more for Sabbath school. I really do. I really do. Some places are having the lesson study first. I guess that's all right. Anyway, Sabbath morning's no problem. Sabbath afternoon is a problem, especially if you got kids. But and I can't resolve that. I can't resolve that. But I can say this to the young parents here: if I say to you what you're going to do on Sunday, son, you can tell me, because you know what you do on Mondays, Tuesdays. The problem is we let Sabbath afternoon land on our backs, and we haven't thought about it before. And that's when it gets to be difficult. So I think that one of the, I don't say it's a solution, but one of the ways of beginning to resolve this challenge is to think about what we're going to do on Sabbath afternoon before we get there. I'm just looking at one guy back there, just this little guy that's sitting back there, got the little kids. I thought she'd kind of appreciate what I just said. His wife's looking down there, just sort of looking ashamed. No, I'm just teasing. Another thing, and I'm not telling you what, I'm only just thinking myself. I'm just thinking out loud. What I've been telling you are not your problems, it's my problems. It's our problem, isn't it? Isn't it ever? Have I told you anything about myself that wasn't about all of us? Are we all in the same boat? Come on, we are. And there's another thing. And that is what we do on Saturday night, man, can mess you up. I don't know if you've heard me tell a story before. I was in a church one Sabbath, and they had in the church bulletin a pastor that they were going to have a church heritage day 2 weeks. In the morning for Sabbath school is going to be the founding fathers and mothers, you know, the founding of our church. And it was going to be the doctrines of the church for the worship service. In the afternoon is going to be the mission outreach. On Saturday night, a video, Godzilla meets Frankenstein. That's the problem we get into. And so when that sun goes down, as I was teasing you before, we don't run away from the Sabbath. You don't walk away, you crawl away. You hear what I'm saying? There remains a rest for the people of God. There's a threat against this rest. And as you know, people used to keep Sunday. You know that, don't you? They kept Sunday. And now very few do. I was telling one of you tonight, I said I was in an airport in Atlanta just this last weekend. There was a fellow sitting in there, and we were at a four-place a table. He was sitting here, and I said, "You mind if I sit down here with you?" Because there was no place to sit. He said, "Not at all." I bowed my head. I said the blessing. You know what he said? He said, "I'm glad to see somebody said the blessing." You know, we talk about sharing our faith. You know one way to do it? Say the blessing. Anyway, you know what he said? He says, and he asked me what I am. I said, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist minister. He said, you know one thing I appreciate about Seventh-day Adventists? They guard the edges of Sabbath. He was also one to listen to the voice of prophecy too. He liked that. Anyway, there remains a rest. Internally, the devil's externally and internally, he's trying to overthrow the Sabbath. He's trying to overthrow our home. We're going to have to stand up by the power of the Lord. Committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, we say, far enough. When the devil comes in like a storm, we're going to raise up a standard against him. What do you say?
Amen.
Now, did we have a pianist play while we were singing a minute ago? Are they still here? Where'd they go?
They're still here.
Sister, why don't you come up and let's sing here to close. Don't forget the Sabbath. You had it already, did you?
I had it already, yeah.
All right.
She's a
reaper. What is she? What's the number on that?
388.
Are we still among friends? You know, in other words, you know what somebody said, my daddy said, that we don't need to prove the truth, just proclaim it. Did I try to prove this to you, Pastor? I didn't try to prove it. For what? Just proclaim it. Live it. Share it, huh? And I think we need to help each other. When I tell you about what Betty and I do, that means my troubles are over? No. That's just what I'm trying to do to get a hold of this blessing. You remember what he said? He said, I won't let you go until you bless me. That's what I want for my life.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Sabbath hours. Help us, Lord, to be proclaimers of your word. Help us, Lord, to be mindful and to guard the fringes, the Sabbath borders. And let us be ever mindful, Lord, to plan for this day rather than hurrying into the Sabbath rest. Lord, as we've heard tonight, may the Sabbath truly become the delight, not the curse, not the stopwatch, but may it be the blessing for true revival. I ask your blessing upon each one now as we continue with the Sabbath, and that our hearts and minds will be drawn up to you. And help us, Lord, to ever be mindful that you are God of love and compassion. Forgive us, I pray, of our shortcomings, and thank you for your mercy towards sinners. Bless us, I pray now, in Jesus' name. Amen.